your Bibles to John chapter 7. Those times in which you were in a situation that you felt like the tension was so thick that you could cut it with a knife. Just think about the different situations that you've encountered in your life in which there was great tension. That's pretty much what's going on here in this text that we're looking at this morning. As it's the Feast of Booths, good Jewish people go up to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. Jesus' brothers, they kind of start poking at him. If you're going to make these claims about yourself, then you need to go up to Jerusalem. Nobody makes these claims like you're making without going up to Jerusalem. But Jesus knew his mission. Jesus knew his purpose. Sukkot, or booths, reminded Israel of God's permission. During the Feast of Booths, the Israelites, they would set up little tents to remind them of their time in the wilderness when they were living in tents. Right now, you and I are living in tents, aren't we? We're living in temporal bodies. We're awaiting our glorified bodies. It's a time of joy, it's a time of celebration. It's a time of looking to God's faithfulness. We don't sorrow that we're in our temporal bodies, do we? No. We take joy that God's given us these bodies. We take joy that God's given us these experiences. We celebrate God's faithfulness. As we look at this text, we're going to see the need of the hour was courage under fire. Jesus shows courage under fire as he confronts the attacks of his own brothers. John chapter 7, beginning in the second verse. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples may also see the works that you do. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, reveal yourself to the world." For even his brothers did not believe in him. Therefore Jesus told them, "My time has not yet come. But your time is always fitting. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify concerning it, that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I am not going up to this feast yet, because my time has not yet fully come." Having said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. Let's pray. Our Lord, our God, we bow before you. Lord, we thank you that while you were on this earth, that you were fully aware of the time. You were fully aware of your purpose, your mission. In the face of skeptics, in the face of temptation, you never lost sight God's time. Lord, place in us a sense of your mission and purpose. Open our eyes to see the opportunities for mission all around us. Folks who need you. Folks who need your grace and your mercy. Folks who need your hope and your forgiveness. Lord, we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus' brothers, they were skeptics. The scripture says they didn't even believe in him. These folks who grew up with Jesus, grew up in the very same household, they didn't even believe in him. It wasn't just the Pharisees, it wasn't just the Sadducees, it wasn't just the religious leaders, it was those in Jesus' own household. They saw some miracles that he was doing. They heard what he was teaching. They heard the claims he was making. But they did not have faith. Look around. Has anything really changed? There's folks all around you that want more proof. You know what the irony is? If you give them more proof, they're still going to want more proof. But then our faith is not about proof. Our faith is about trust. Nothing's changed from Jesus' time till now. The skeptics will always be there. The skeptics will always want one more sign. One more teaching. One more little thread. They'll never have enough proof. These brothers, they wanted Jesus to go to Jerusalem. They wanted Jesus to make his claims, do his miracles, to make his claims in Jerusalem, the center of Israel's world, the center of Israel's religion, the center of Israel's politics. They wanted Jesus to go there. Because if what he says is right, if what he says is true, then he needs to go to Jerusalem. He needs to make his claims in Jerusalem, the high holy city. His brothers have the understanding, his brothers have the misunderstanding that public recognition is true and right. Public recognition can be good, but public recognition alone doesn't necessarily mean it's true and right, does it? Jesus' works showed purpose. If you look at the Gospels, you see where Jesus opened blinded eyes. You see where Jesus unstopped deaf ears. You see where Jesus made the lame to walk. You see where Jesus healed the lepers, cleansed the lepers. You see where Jesus raised the dead. See where Jesus fed 5,000? Did Jesus ever perform a miracle just for the sake of performing a miracle? No. And particularly if you look at John's gospel, John doesn't use the word miracles, he uses the word signs. Because the miracles that Jesus did throughout the four gospels, they were all to point to his person. They were all to point to his character. They were all to point to his work, his ultimate work, as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. His works showed purpose. These brothers, they just thought they were miracles for the sake of miracles. They just thought that he was some showman, perhaps an illusionist, a magician. They thought that he was just trying to bring attention to himself. They wanted recognition over faithfulness. Think about churches today. Think about where y'all went last week. Think about churches today and how so many denominational churches, it's all about the numbers. How many people did you baptize last year? How many people made professions of faith last year? How many new members last year? It's all about numbers, numbers, numbers. It's like numbers is the only metric that a lot of these churches use to determine whether or not they're healthy. They want recognition. But what about faithfulness? How much faithfulness do we see in the church world today? How much faithfulness do we see of folks taking the scriptures and applying it to daily life? Not just saying, okay, I believe it, but then saying, hey, I'm going to do it. If the need was courage under fire, the solution is knowing the time. Jesus says, my time has not yet come, but your time is always fitting. The world cannot hate you, and it hates me because I testify concerning it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not going up to this feast yet, because my time is not yet come. Jesus responds. He responds as he does so often in John's Gospel. My time is not yet come. That is a staple of John's Gospel. My time is not yet come. The implication for you and me is that you are called. You are to be set apart. Jesus was set apart, yes. The only begotten Son of God, firstborn of creation. The one who spoke the world into existence. Everything that you see, everything that's unseen. But you, as his people, are called to be set apart. Jesus presents here something that shows that you and me are misunderstood. Just as Jesus was misunderstood by his own brothers, you and me are going to be misunderstood. Just as there's animosity toward Jesus, there's going to be animosity towards us. Because people don't understand what it is that we cling to, what it is we hold to, what it is we believe. Jesus knew God's plan. He was aware of God's plan. And that was the difference between his brothers, wasn't it? His brothers were thinking day to day. His brothers were thinking in the moment. His brothers were thinking about what they could feel, what they could see, what they could hear. His brothers were thinking about what was right here, right now. But Jesus saw the bigger picture, didn't he? It's like if I was to bring a jigsaw puzzle in and say I brought in a really challenging 5,000 piece jigsaw puzzle. And I just dumped the pieces in the floor and then hid the box, so that you wouldn't have the cover to look at it. You could take one of those pieces of that jigsaw puzzle, and you might be able to discern some things about what the ultimate picture would look like, wouldn't you? But would you have sight of the bigger picture? No. It's not until you got down on the floor and you started putting those pieces together that you would get a bigger and bigger and bigger picture. And when finally those 5,000 pieces are all together, then you have the big picture. Jesus could see the big picture. Jesus could see the big picture. His brothers could only see right here and right now. So there's hostility. They wanted Jesus to conform. They wanted Jesus to be just like them. They wanted Jesus to be just like everybody else. There's a lot of folks that want me and you to be just like everybody else too, don't they? But we're not called to be conformed, are we? We're called to be transformed. Jesus calls you and me to be transformed. You were taken out of darkness and you were raised in light. Verse 7 talks about separation. Verse 7 talks about separation, and it begins with hate. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me. How often do you think about non-Christians hating Jesus and hating God? I mean, we really don't think about it that much, do we? But before you became a Christian, you really hated God. You were doing your own thing. You were doing things like Frank Sinatra, going my own way. And even though you wouldn't have put it that way, that you hated God, everything that you did showed hatred toward God. This world hates God. And specifically, they hate Jesus. Think about how our culture around us wants to push tolerance. But have you ever noticed that it's okay when they talk about tolerance toward Islam? It's okay when they talk about tolerance toward Judaism? It's okay when they talk about tolerance toward Hinduism. It's okay when they talk about tolerance toward Buddhism. It's okay when they talk about tolerance toward New Age. But how often do they give Christianity tolerance? This world wants to offer tolerance to every other worldview except for Christianity. Because we alone have an exclusive message. The exclusivity of the gospel is our foundation. Without the exclusivity of the gospel, we don't have a faith. Jesus offers that warning and that expectation that the world is going to hate you. Because the world hates the truth. The world hates the truth because the truth exposes darkness. The truth exposes darkness. You've ever been to any one of these caverns? There's always a point where they turn the lights out. And when they turn the lights out, whether it's Indiana Caverns or Squire Boone or wherever, it gets dark underground. And it gets dark fast. It's so dark you can't even see this close. But if somebody was to pull out a phone or a little flashlight, even in that big a space, that little light would change things, wouldn't it? Truth exposes darkness. Sin is darkness. Sin is darkness. And it's your job and my job to shine the light in the darkness, to expose unbelievers to the truth. It's your job and my job to stand out and to stand against the mainstream culture. We're going to be criticized, we're going to be alienated, we're going to be persecuted, but we're called to stand out. Our action is obedience. Verse 9 says, having said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. Jesus remained in Galilee obedient to the mission that the Father had for him. And he gives you and me today two paths, doesn't he? There's the path of fame, and there's the path of faith. You can either go the path of faith, or you can go the path of fame. You can either go the path of God's time, or you can go the path of your time. You can either go the path of truth, or you can go the path of acceptance. You can either go the path of God's priorities, or you can go the path of your priorities. Which path will you take? Obedience and disobedience stand before you. Fame or faith? God's time or your time? Truth or acceptance? God's priorities or your priorities? Do you have patience, as Jesus showed when he said, my time is not yet? Your time is always. My time, Jesus says, is not yet. In this world, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to suffer criticism. You're going to suffer animosity. Because people don't get you. Not everybody's going to get you. Not everybody's going to understand your faith. Not everybody's going to understand what you believe and why you believe it. But do you have the patience to shine that little flashlight in that great, big, dark cavern? Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we bow before you. Thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Lord, I pray that the light of your word would shine in the parts of our hearts that we're still holding back. Change us, O God. Conform us to your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.